The world is going through changes. Changes happening at a speed that we have never seen before. This is leading to disruption, chaos, panic, fear, hysteria, and a turbulent economy and marketplace. How do you protect your wealth in a turbulent world? How do you invest for cash flow and alternative assets to escape the rat race in times of uncertainty? How do you decentralize yourself, your family, your community, your business, and your investments to become sovereign and escape the matrix? If you are looking for strategies, tactics, and techniques to escape the rat race and matrix, you are in the right place. My name is MC Lobsher, and this is Cashflow Ninja. This is Cashflow Ninja. I'm MC Lobsher. Thank you so much for spending most valuable resource, your time, once again with me on the show. Everything Cashflow Ninja is at cashflowninja.com. There's now three podcasts that you can access at cashflowninja.com. Cashflow Ninja, Cashflow Investing Secrets, and Reset Investing Secrets. Cashflow Ninja is the show where I weekly get to interview the best minds in business and investing. And in Cashflow Investing Secrets, I share my best thinking and insights with regards to everything cashflow and cashflow investing. And Reset Investing Secrets is a new podcast in which I put the reset lens on the world, the global economy, and global markets. So if you are a business owner, investor that's looking to protect and build wealth during turbulent times, that would be a great podcast to add to your lineup, Reset Investing Secrets. And these three shows, Cashflow Ninja, Cashflow Investing Secrets, and Reset Investing Secrets, they're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Other things that you can find at CashflowNinja.com, of course, is my book, The 21 Best Cashflow Niches. You can subscribe to my newsletter, The Best Cashflow Niches Newsletter, and you can also sign up for my mastermind, Cashflow Nirvana. It's a mastermind, which is my inner circle of business owners and investors that's looking to protect and build wealth during turbulent times. I've got a fantastic show for you today. I have on the show Barry James Dyke. Barry's been on the show before. You could go to CashflowNinja.com and type in his name, Barry James Dyke. His books really was extremely valuable to me on my journey. Barry does incredible research, and he writes about this in his books with regards to how the banking and the financial world actually work. So we all have models, right, of how things work in the world. We have models which we've created and built ourselves based on the data and information which we have processed. And of course, we've adopted models from our parents and family members and other people that have influenced us in some way, shape, or form. The accuracy of these models is extremely important, because the models and frameworks that you use to navigate the world will directly determine where you end up, whether you're successful or not. Pick any area of life, whether it's health, whether it's relationships, and whether it's money, business, and investing. If you have the wrong models and the wrong frameworks, chances are that you're not going to be very successful in those areas. If you have the correct and more accurate models, well, now the probability of success and health, relationships, and money, whether it's be business and investing, is much, much higher. So his books, and I'll just share them quickly here, The Pirates of Manhattan, Systematically Plundering the American Consumer and How to Protect Against It, was a great read. Would highly recommend that book. And then The Pirates of Manhattan 2, Highway to Serfdom, is also another great book full of research and data and information that's factual and actual. And of course, Guaranteed Income, A Risk-Free Guide to Retirement, is also a great book by Barry James Dyke. And he is in the process of releasing his fourth book, his third in the Pirates of Manhattan series, which is called The Pirates of Manhattan 3, Mercenaries of Debt. And you could check out all those books at BarryJamesDyke.com. Barry, great to see you.
Great to see you, MC. You're looking handsome as ever.
I've been looking forward to this conversation. So for folks that are not familiar with you and what you do, can you please share a little bit about your background and journey with them?
Yeah, well, I've been blessed, MC. I've been working in financial services about 38, almost 40 years now. And I've written, three books. I'm in the process of finishing my fourth. And I wrote essentially about the corruption in Wall Street. And the first one is The Pirates of Manhattan that took off. That's still selling well today. Sold in 23 countries. It's really what I'm doing is I'm trying to help people build better retirements, more financial safety, and have more honesty, integrity about money and these types of issues, MC. And because we're not getting it from the media today, which is obvious, and we're not really getting it from our schools. The schools don't educate. So I think really the beauty is that we have the internet today for people like you. And then we have these new phenomena like Jordan Peterson, the Canadian. I don't know if you're familiar with him at all.
Yep.
Who talks about really about how to live a correct life and so forth. So luckily with the internet, we can get a lot of the truth out there, which you can't get in the mainstream media. And so that's, you know, so it's been a blessing because I get to meet guys like you and do interviews with folks around the world. But that's, you know, so go to BarryJamesDyke.com, get a book, you know, and it will help people tremendously with their retirement and savings concerns and become less dependent upon banks.
Yeah, I think like the first step for anyone that's trying to, just trying to structure a financial strategy is they have to understand the environment that they're operating in when they are creating a strategy, right? And the books that you've put together, the research in there, I would highly recommend people check it out. It was fantastic on my journey. The first book was The Pirates of Manhattan. Then the second book was The Pirates of Manhattan, The Highway to Serfdom. And you've just released another one, The Pirates of Manhattan 3, Mercenaries of Debt. So there's so much research that's gone in there. So many references. It's all documented. Fascinating read for anybody that wants to understand the game and understand the environment. And, you know, obviously this is US-centric, the Pirates of Manhattan, but I mean, you could say the Pirates of Bay Street, the Pirates of the City of London. Same.
Yeah. It's the same thing. It's all abuse, use and abuse of other people's money. And there was a book, MC, written by Louis Brandeis, who ended up becoming a Supreme Court justice in, around 1914, he wrote a book called Other People's Money. And the funny thing is, the more things change, the more they remain the same. And what Brandeis wrote about was essentially the using other people's money. And now we're just a lot more sophisticated, but we do with things like mutual funds and 401ks, where all the risk has been shifted onto the retail saver, and all the really profits been shifted onto insiders and Wall Street. You know, so. And it's pretty much the same thing because I've spoken around. I've had people at some talks of mine say, well, we have a kind of the same similar thing in Canada or in Belgium or in the UK or I think France too. So a lot of the same models are the same. So it's really about the bankers, you know. But what we're trying to do is just help people like you and I, just trying to help people have a more peace of mind and financial wellness, if you will.
So, tell me a little bit about this new book, The Pirates of Manhattan 3, The Mercenaries of Debt. What does that cover?
Well, this is, you know, this is, I don't know if you knew about it, but in 2021, MC, I was in a new documentary movie called The Baby Boomer Dilemma. I don't know if you heard of that.
Yep.
It's about a book about using, it's a documentary movie. People can go to boomermovie.com, by the way, to get watch the trailer. But I was asked to be in the movie for the research because I was the guy who found out where the banks and a lot of these financial institutions put their money is with life insurance companies. So I actually did the research and I dug through 10-Ks and 10-Qs and other filings. So, and the FDIC filings. So I found, holy mother of God, all these banks and institutions putting all their money with life insurance companies. And to this day, now this is, I wrote the first book in 2007, so this is like 14 years ago, MC. Yep. To this day, the media refuses to acknowledge it, even though it's true. So, anyway, so I, so essentially I wrote the third book, Guaranteed Income, in 2015, and I realized after doing the movie that I knew that people needed more help than ever. And what really concerned me was essentially is that how people do not have a safe retirement in this country. And by the way, do you know where the U.S. stands? Now, you're from South Africa, but do you know where the U.S. stands in World League tables in terms of retirement preparedness is? In the top 20, what do you think the U.S. stands for? I love, you know.
Oh, what do you probably think not at the top. I'm probably towards the bottom part of that 20.
Yeah, now Mercer out of Australia, each year they do a study on pensions, and U.S. was number 19 out of the top 20. You know, so in terms, and I think we rank like dead last in terms of integrity. So I knew this, and this is an actuarial firm, is Mercer. I don't know if you've heard of them. They're huge worldwide actuarial firm, and so they did, each year they do a study on pension preparedness, and they found the U.S. is one of the worst in the world. So, I wanted to really have a way for people, a methodology, if you will, for people to safely retire, to have seatbelts around their money and guardrails, because really, there's really no protection. Everything which has been put in place in the past has been removed to protect people. But then what really concerned me as well was the private equity invasion, if you will, into the retirement space. Which is a huge concern, and actually a friend of mine just released a book, Gretchen Morgenson, called The Plunderers, about private equity. So it's people not only they need to use insurance companies, they also really need to. I'm very much a snob using either a mutual or fraternal organization, something which is very, very safe, but people don't know this information. So this is why I'm putting it together.
I want to take a moment to share something very important right now. Are you trying to figure out how to protect your savings from the banking collapse, which has already started, and the coming financial crisis? Most banks will fail. Deposits that are not insured by the FDIC will be lost, and there will be bank bail-ins. And this collapse in the banking system will lead to chaos in the financial system. Banks also provide loans to real estate investors. So what do you think is going to happen to lending in the event of a banking and a financial crisis? You can be proactive and position your savings to protect it and also have access to it to use it to buy discounted assets by positioning it in your own banking system through the infinite banking concept strategy. Producers Wealth has put together a presentation at yourownbankingsystem.com where you will learn how to position capital outside of the banking system and the Wall Street casino, just like the ultra wealthy, to protect it and create a pool of tax-free liquid capital to capitalize on the massive opportunity to buy discounted assets, which is coming. You can access the presentation at yourownbankingsystem.com. That's yourownbankingsystem.com. The Wall Street casino is a fee machine. It is an extracting machine. So it is not for the benefit of people placing their capital in there. It is for the benefit of the folks that are, quote unquote, I'll put this in a quote, managing it, because that's essentially how this table is set. It's very, very tilted towards the incentives for the managers, and that's where the profit is made, where the people that place their hard-earned capital there is just basically fleeced. Through very, very many different ways, which you've outlined. I mean, I don't even think most people understand how they're fleeced.
If, you know, so anyone listening out there, and this don't make this, there's a lot of academics that lot of research on this, is that if anyone opened up their brokerage statement, they read their arbitration agreement, they'd be shocked. In other words, what they give to you in the big print, they take away in the fine print. And so if you have to understand it, it's really the game is rigged, and it's in favor of the asset manager in Wall Street, Bay Street, you know, in the city of London. And and so when you understand that, and then if you have really no protection, if they lose all your money, there's no protection. And but this is the eye of the thing. Now, I had my cup of coffee this morning, and I can see who this is from, MC.
Yep. For the folks listening, it says Lehman Brothers Risk Management Department, 2008.
Okay. So this was one of the largest bankruptcies of all time. Now, the irony of the whole thing is it was a disaster, but $660 billion in debt, something of that nature, something incredibly huge. Where you and I, the taxpayer, your tax, we're all taxpayers, so we essentially subsidize the shenanigans. And what happened is when Lehman Brothers collapsed in 2008, Lehman Brothers pensions was guaranteed by the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation as an annuity. Folks, don't believe me? Go to the PBGC website, Google Lehman Brothers, okay? This is the truth, okay? I testify in court on this. But the irony of the whole thing is Lehman Brothers had pensions overseas. And one of the large ones is based in the UK. And you know what Lehman Brothers did in around 2011? MC?
No. Oh.
They bought an annuity for their own pension plan. So my whole thing was, hey, if Lehman Brothers is doing this, Bank of America did the same thing. Wouldn't make sense for other people. So using life insurance, annuity products, whatever, putting safety seatbelts around people's money, which seems to make all the sense in the world, because after all, a life insurance contract or annuity is a contract. It's a legal contract. Everything else, whether it be ETF or a mutual fund or individual stock, there's no guarantees. So I'm saying, hey, annuity is whether it be in the UK, the US, whatever, is a contract. But what amazed me is that you see similar patterns in the UK and the US, particularly, and in Canada as well. So for anyone who's listening in Canada. And so we're seeing the same guarantees for corporate plans, but we're not seeing any of this being exposed in the media. So so that's one of the reasons why I'm doing the fourth book, because when, I don't know if you saw my third book, Guaranteed Income, MC.
Yep.
I did. In that book, I came up with about 50 companies who would purchase annuities to finance their retirement plans. Since that time, MC, it's gotten huge. I think it's gone from like 50 companies, which I knew in 2015, over 300-400 worldwide. And this is, I'm just going through public documentation. So, for instance, AT&T bought an $8 billion annuity the other week. IBM bought one for $16 billion in September of 2022. HP, Hewlett Packard, bought one, like $5 billion. I think Lockheed Martin, which is one of the largest aerospace defense contracts in the world, I think their whole, all their own pension plans are fully insured with annuities. So this is, if people use, you know, this type of a contract, well, they're going to be much better off. There's no question in my mind. And, you know, also learning how to warehouse capital with life insurance and so on. And when you look at the financial products in the world, in the U.S., you look at the where you can deposit money, where would the best place to be? Would it be a stock? Would it be a bond? Would it be real estate? Would it be a small business, whatever? Or could you put it with a life insurance company? There's not that many places. But when you really do the research, you realize that the life insurance company is one of the safest places you can be. So I'm not the only one to write about this. Actually, as you know, a lot of my research has been lifted by everyone around this country. But, you know, that's so this is why I'm doing the fourth book.
I want to take a moment to recognize one of our sponsors, Penumbra Solutions. Live settlements investments have allowed financial and banking institutions to not only buy their equity contractually, but also diversify their capital from any economic, market, and geopolitical risk. It's been part of the billion-dollar blueprint followed by institutional investors. If you're an accredited investor, you can also now participate in this vehicle with enormous growth potential. You can watch an informational webinar presented by one of the premier organizations providing live settlement investments, Penumbra Solutions, at cashflowninja.com/live settlements. That's cashflowninja.com/live settlements. The password to access that webinar is Penumbra, all lowercase. Yeah, Barry, this book of yours has come out at the perfect time because, as you've already mentioned, we've covered, you know, in the United States, out of the top, 20 countries in size, being number 19th when it comes to preparedness for retirement is not flattering at all. And this is from that actuarial group, Mercer, which is renowned around the world. So, and then we've got this enormous group for the first time, the baby boomers going into retirement. Many of them, following a strategy that was largely untested and unproven, right? A lot of the vehicles used by most baby boomers were rolled out. I mean, this is in the early 80s, basically, right? The 401ks and so forth. So it's untested, unproven. Now they're in retirement. You and I see it. You know, we see it's not working. Most of the baby boomers know it's not. It's not working, and they're having to work longer, you know, than what they plan on to. And this is before we're looking at a massive financial catastrophe that's coming our way, an economic storm that's going to hit all the asset values that this group of people are depending on for their retirement years. So, you'd mentioned places to warehouse capital, and every situation is different, right? There would probably be different answers in 2012 than the answers that we have right now in 2023. But where to warehouse capital? Banks. We've got smaller banks collapsing, regional banks collapsing, and the crisis is just going to continue until the too big to fails are gobbling up everything. So you've got that going on. You've got the stock market, which again, you probably have a different answer in 2012 of where to position capital than you have in 2023. Bonds. I mean, we talk about the mercenaries of debt in your latest book. We've got a debt bubble that's ready to pop, which is going to hit every single market on the planet. Real estate, same thing. Again, you would have a different answer in 2012 when it comes to real estate than you have in 2023. And then businesses too. You've all these boomers that's ready to retire. Assets values are about to get clobbered in the coming months with this economic storm. And this was for a lot of boomers, their exit was selling their business. I've had conversations with folks. What's your plan? Well, I'm going to exit my business, and then that's going to basically finance retirement. So we've got quite a crisis coming with an economic storm. So a book obviously coming, you know, at the right time for folks to at least understand their economic environment. And I would recommend you read all four of them. There's three books that the Pirates of Manhattan. The latest one is The Mercenaries of Debt, the Guaranteed Income. Yeah. Any comments just on the crisis that's already here? It's a retirement crisis, and this is about to get much worse as this. We've been in a recession for 12 months, you know, or even more, almost 13 months now. Changing definitions doesn't really impact the what's happening on the ground. So you've had a 14 month recession, basically looking headed into a depression. If you look at the technical definition of that, and if you adjust it for inflation, what are some of your just thoughts and comments on what I just shared? And
well, you know, again, first of all, you have to take responsibility for yourself. I mean, particularly in the private sector, MC. Now you're in Pennsylvania, am I correct? So
that's correct.
Like if you're a Pennsylvania state employee, you have a defined benefit pension plan. But like the state of Pennsylvania is kind of exhibit A, of what not to do with private equity. So the state of Pennsylvania is a freaking mess, okay? But the whole thing is really to take responsibility of what you have. You know, don't buy stuff with money you don't have to impress people who you don't like. You know, a lot of this common sense stuff. I mean, learn how to save before you're investing, and putting money into a 401k or a 403b, whatever you want to call it, it's not saving. It's just you're speculating in essentially a high risk casino. And the thing is that it's money kind of like in a straitjacket. I mean, if you're 40 years of age, I mean, you can't even get in touch with, really touch the money for another 20 years. So it's enough. So really to educate yourself and to see what the other institutions are doing. But actually one of the revelations in the book is that MC, I've never had any luck with the media on my research. But what will be in the book will be interesting, because I document how companies like the New York Times and CBS News and the BBC, which is the largest, I think, largest media company in the world, and McClatchy and other news organizations are all using annuities on their retirement plans. So even though the press, if you will, hasn't give me any traction, if you will, they are actually using them for themselves. And again, I've just pulled all the stuff out of like 10-Ks and 10-Qs and a lot of grace of God. But what institutions now, the whole thing is the media will not advertise that they're doing this, because some of their largest fee folks, traditional media is having a real hard time, but the largest advertisers for traditional media are obviously mobile phone companies, auto companies, and asset managers and banks. So that's kind of their mother load of their fee income. So the New York Times are going to say, okay, by the way, this is where we put our money. But I always have hope. And I think if people know what's going on, then they'll know what to do. It's a hard game for people to play when you don't know what's going on.
I want to take a moment to recognize one of our sponsors. My friend Dave Zook says, you can be conventional or you can be wealthy. Pick one. At The Real Asset Investor, Dave and his team bring their investors high-yield investment opportunities across several asset classes for cash flow, tax impact, and equity growth. He and his team are one of the top 5 ATM operators in the country, and they have an investment opportunity available to accredited investors right now in the ATM space. To learn more about their ATM funds that produce tax-free cash flow, visit therealassetinvestor.com. That's therealassetinvestor.com. So to your point, and anybody can do this. Go to Yahoo Finance and type in any media organization. There, you can just type in the name. They'll give you the ticker. Then you click on that. Then you go to the tab that says shareholders, and then you click on the shareholders. Anybody on the planet can do this. It's right there. And what you'll find is you're going to see BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street.
Yep.
Consistently in the top 5. Sometimes there's a different one that sneak in that's also part of that around that group. But so you have those three are the three ones that come up every single time. So as the major shareholders.
Yes. And to add, now I address that in the new book, MC, is that, I'm kind of an indexer myself, but the problem is that the indexers now in the top three, and you've nailed it, and this is all matter of public records. There's no mystery about this stuff. They own 50% of the market. And the thing is that the problem with passive investing is that they're doing nothing to look out for the interests of shareholders, okay? And the shareholders are actually the people in their 401ks, their IRAs, and the whole thing. So they're doing absolutely nothing for the people's retirement plans. But someone like Larry Fink, who is the head of BlackRock, made $31 million last year, okay? And he's a billionaire. or you know, Vanguard, which is down in your neighborhood. And I actually became friends with Jack Bogle before he died. All the insiders there, because it's a mutual company. There, you know, the insiders are making tens of millions of dollars. Okay, so what they now the whole thing. Indexing was really based upon modern portfolio theory, which is Harry Markowitz and Eugene Fama. Okay, which is it's a good way for people to put money in using indexes. But the problem is with indexing, there's no guarantee of principal. There's no protection and the downside in what we're seeing now. So last year in 2022, for instance, people lost an average of 22% in the market in the S&P, pure S&P. Let's see, roughly 9% in the Dow. In the NASDAQ, the tech-heavy NASDAQ MC lost about 33%. So people in the FANG stocks have got clobbered, okay, and they're going to need, you know, if they lost 30%, well, they're going to need maybe 30, 50% just to get back to even.
Right. And it's part of the, so also what you were saying, that a portfolio on average lost 20%, that's your 60-40, your traditional 60-40 split, where depending on your age, the 60, if you're younger, would be loaded towards stocks and equities, and the 40 towards bonds. And as you get older in your journey, the weight then shifts from the stocks to the bonds. So you're a lot, you know, you're more like 40 on the stocks and 60s on the bonds. And the theory, and this is, you know, a theory, is, yeah, the theory is that, well, you know, you have a longer time when you're younger, you can be more aggressive. There's a huge upside in the stocks. And when you're older, bonds are a safe play, you know, buy bonds, wear diamonds kind of thing, right? Well, what happens if the stock market goes down and the bond market is having issues at the same time? Then now we are now living through it. So you're in a position where, you know, it's almost like the average American, and it's not just American, this is across the world.
It's a world problem.
Pick your Western country, whether it's Canada, Australia, New Zealand, you know, South Africa, the countries in Europe. You know, most people will have, you know, a primary residence, and then they'll have a qualified retirement plan of some sort in some way, shape, or form. And then maybe, you know, a couple of other equities and maybe some bonds with a financial advisor. And that's it. And, you know, it was always, well, that'll work out, because let's just say the stock market gets hammered. The real estate just keeps going up, right? That never goes down. You just keep going up. Well, then 2008 happened. And all of a sudden now you have the housing market get clobbered. You have the equity markets get clobbered. So every single asset that people have, we're down. There was no plan B. You had one shot to get this right, and hoping that most of these assets don't get clobbered at the same time. Same thing within this portfolio, as you just mentioned, the 60-40, hoping that bonds strengthen as stocks go down and stocks go up, bonds weaken. So, I mean, we're living in a very interesting time where if there's no plan B in a holistic kind of strategy, which we talk about on the show, you're gonna be in for some stormy weathers ahead in this economic storm, which is headed this way.
Yeah, yeah, and the funny thing is as much as the media or financial gurus of will say, you know, they say annuities are horrible, like guys like Ken Fisher, he says they're horrible. But if you does the research, you know, you'll find the major institutions all use these things, these guaranteed strategies. Now, I think people need to educate themselves. They need to hear the truth. They're not hearing it from the media. The traditional media is falling apart. The statistics which amazed me is that I think. And I get this from Reuters and the Gallup poll and organizations, the whole thing. And I love this country. I mean, I love America, and I really do. But we're probably one of the worst in the world in terms of transparency and media integrity. I mean, and you know, as I say, other outfits such as Gallup, you know, I was just reading one something the other week. Like International Federation of Reporters, something of that sort, I think we're like number 45 in the top 50, you know, so you're not going to hear from the truth. And the guy who sold Clear Channel Radio to Bain Capital and Thomas Lee, which ended up going bankrupt, by the way, in a huge leverage buyout, which I write about. And it was huge leverage. But anyhow, the guy who started Clear Channel Radio, I forget the guy's name. He said, we're not in the business of telling the truth. We're in the business of selling other people's products. So when you understand this is what the media is doing now, and he sold it to Bain Capital, Thomas Lee, for, I don't know, $24 billion, $20 billion, something ridiculous. So you understand the media, really, their job is to help people sell products. Now, so in any event, so this is why we need people like yourself, or this, I think prior to, I think, our getting on the show, there's guys like Jordan Peterson, the Canadian, who is a great truth teller, and he's become a phenomenon because of the web. And then we look at people like Joe Rogan, who is really getting up there because he tells the truth. So the thing is, but people need to understand what's going on, and because it's the banks run the country, and yeah. And they run the world, but Jesus was talking about he's chasing the money changes out of the temple, a couple thousand years ago. So what's changed? Not much, So, but anyway, so we still live in a great country, and but there are things they can do if people take the time to educate themselves.
Yeah, and the big thing, I think the big core lesson is understand your environment, and also revisit the models and the frameworks that you use to evaluate your environment. I don't think people place enough importance in that. The models that you use and that you've created for yourselves of how you make sense of the world directly impacts where you end up and on what side you end up in life. So it's important to understand, what's going on, and so that you can build more accurate models, so that you can create strategies built on more accurate models, which will get you where you want to go eventually and all part of your life. You pick any segment, of our life, whether it's health, whether it is relationships, whether it is money, financial, business, investing, and so forth. The models that you have is directly going to impact where you end up if you're going to be successful in those areas, right?
Yeah. And, I've written a bunch of books, and I'm very grateful. Thank you, God. But people, and I think anyone who plays sports or develops any type of a craft or any type of expertise, MC, you and I know it takes, you're working on this podcast. How many more is it? 16 on this? It's a lot of work, yep. Isn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of work. Okay. A lot of money and expertise. I've done these. I've stopped doing it for now, but it's a lot of work. So we know in life we won't become a great athlete or a great chef or anything like that. It takes a long period of time for us to get good at something. Okay. We know that. We intuitively know that. And we really do. But when it comes to saving and investing, we say, hey, let's put in this stock or this mutual fund or this latest SPAC, which was another mania. Okay. Which I'll be, covering in great detail in this next book, which is just another repeat of the blind pools of the 1920s. And this is during the pandemic when free money was falling out of the sky. We had this kind of mania. So the thing is, now we have massive inflation. So money supply has to be tightened if you want to get this thing under control. And when it is under tighter control, you have to be a lot more prudent. You can't gamble and speculate your way. You can't gamble or borrow your way out of this. You're going to have to, to get out of this, you're going to have to, it's going to be take a long effort and you can't borrow your way out of this. Although this is what I think, everyone in Washington does. They either, a good friend of mine who's an actuary, so he said, the Democrats want to tax and spend, the Republicans want to borrow and spend. What's the difference? So the whole thing is that we're all in this together, folks. So my point is that if you can be protect out what you have and be, you know, not be a slave to the lender, if you will. I mean, you look at really from a biblical, you know, the borrower is a slave to the lender. So right now, I mean, and I actually Statista, I don't know if you've ever seen Statista, the outfit out of the UK, they came up a new chart yesterday. I think the American consumers are over $17 trillion in debt. $17
trillion. Unbelievable.
I'm not talking about government. This is mortgage debt, student loan debt, and the whole thing. So the whole thing is the borrower is the slave to the lender. And so the whole thing is that a lot of these, the more people can be self-reliant and be able to finance their own stuff, without a bank, they're better off than they're going to be. And, you know, because it's a rigged game. I don't know if you ever saw the whole thing with George Carlin says, it's a club and you and I are not in it. and for 98% of the Americans, that's, or yeah, this is the way it is. So for the 1%, yeah. So the thing is that you really have to be educate yourself and, read up on how banking really works and things like that, you know, and it wasn't until I figured out how the financial system worked until I could really be of service to others. And
True. Yeah, that's absolutely right there. I mean, just think about it. And you've talked about the media. And like I said, anybody can go to Yahoo Finance and type in the ticker and you'll figure out who pulls the strings of the media. You know, we have so much information available right now, more than ever, right? We have AI.
Yeah.
You have AI bots, which you can ask questions to. But still, the results, if you look collectively at the results where people are financially, it's the worst shape collectively. If you look at the statistics, whether it's debt, household debt, you know, and of course, I mean, countries are bankrupt, states, provinces are bankrupt, municipalities, you know, towns. So it's not out of the ordinary. It's not a shock that the people which inhabited these towns and municipalities and states and provinces and countries, that they're also heavily indebted. But you look at the results of collectively and you're like, this is a train wreck. This is a disaster. How's this possible? So obviously they're not operating with correct models, right? Model and framework.
Yeah. So one of the classic cases is the case of WeWork. You ever heard of that organization?
Yes.
Yep. And I went through it. This is like Exhibit A in Wall Street lunacy. If there was a poster child of stupid greed gone off the rails, it has to be WeWork. It was this large property management company based out of New York, started by this guy, Adam Newman, whatever. He's an Israeli pot-smoking guy, used to fly all around. And he got money from Wellington and J.P. Morgan and Fidelity and you name it. He got 16, 17 billion alone from SoftBank. 16, 17 billion with a B. Okay. You couldn't make this step up. Okay. And in 2018, 19, they valued this company at $47 billion. And Morgan Stanley and analyst Morgan Stanley said the company's worth $110 billion. So, anyhow, Fidelity put money into the thing from retail investors. Vanguard put in. John Hancock put money in. It's all public record. So make a long story short. So they finally bring the company public in a SPAC, which is a blind pool, special purpose acquisition company. The value of the company is $11 billion. Now, in 18, 19, they had a value of $47 billion. Now, it was at $47 billion. It was up to $110 billion. Now it's down to $47. Now it's down to $9 or $10 billion. Okay. They bring the company public in a SPAC, $11 a share. And you know what? And you know what WeWork has traded at today? 21 cents a share. So Fidelity and Vanguard, all these companies are putting it, they're valuing the company at $54 a share. Yesterday, last night, it was 21 cents a share. And who's the biggest owners of it? You know, SoftBank, Fidelity, the usual suspects.
Yep.
So this is and this is the reason why this was created, because there was we have the finest democracy money can buy. This is a result of the 2012 Jobs Act, where they allowed mutual fund companies to put up to 15% of the portfolio into privately held companies, venture capital, private equity, and so on. So they're gambling more with your money and they're losing it. And so as the old famous comedian, Will Rogers said, you know, 30 years ago, 90 years ago, I'm more concerned about the return of my money than return on my money.
Right. And a lot of this disaster, Stu, and maybe we'll cover my final question for you. Where do the disasters, these financial disasters, and I could think of one right now. Hey, how about those commercial mortgage-backed securities? How about those? Couldn't see that coming, huh? Office space is completely empty since 2020. So where do all of those things end up? And this is what the average person should know about. They end up in your pension, right? And your retirement. In 2008, 2009, yeah, you had the residential, mortgage-backed securities. Now you have the commercial mortgage-backed securities.
Yeah, and they've done that, MC. And, the more I know, the more I don't know. But and then they end up in index funds and bonds and things, junk bonds. And they've rebranded everything. So people have to understand that, junk bonds, they're now called high yield. Okay, so they repackage everything. It's the way Wall Street buries the dead. Instead of calling junk bonds, they call them high yield. Okay, which means they're bonds without any collateral behind them. And having integrity and preservation of principle. And yeah, there's a cost to it. There's a cost to everything. But people say, well, there's commissions and all this stuff with insurance and all this stuff. Yeah, there is. But yeah, but I've had people come into my office losing 30-40% of their portfolio, I think the more people educate themselves, the better off they're going to be. Read books, people. I guess maybe because the best knowledge is out there, MC. I think you would agree, out of the books, and because they're the best source of concentrated knowledge. You're not going to get it on the internet. You may get an ebook or something like that, but you're not going to get any concentrated information until you learn how to read and you learn how to write as well. And this is what Jordan Peterson, the Canadian, I agree with him 100% that if you learn how to write, you'll become much more powerful as an individual.
Yep. Absolutely. And I love that rebranding and the marketing because, Barry, you probably saw that we don't have bailouts anymore either for banks. We just have backstops, right? So they don't have bailouts anymore either. Another final takeaway here for folks too is understand where you are at the market cycle. There's a time for yields, right? For rate of returns and all that kind of stuff. And then there's a time for capital preservation and wealth preservation. And when a storm is approaching, that's the time for preservation and specifically wealth and capital preservation. Barry, any final comments, any final message that you want to leave with my listeners and my viewers? And then also please share where folks can learn more about what you're up to and where they can grab copies of your books.
Yeah, sure. Go to barryjamesdyke.com and we have a thing where you can sign up the newsletter. So we'll let everyone know when the new book's coming out. And I'm not doing this MC just for the money. I would wait. I hate bullies. Okay. So one of the things that gets me up is really to help people. So these guys are Wall Street bullies. So not that many better because I'm not. But, so this work will be released at some point. So we have a free mail list. And I think that's how you find out about my new book. I think you may have been on it. So we'll announce that going forward. There's a lot to be done, but thank God for people like you, MC. And you've had a lot of really good people on your show, like Robert Kiyosaki and people like that, who know what's going on. And so that's what I just recommend people do. And read books, if you read and not just the internet, because the internet is full of lies as well, so you have to really and if you research real facts, I think you're going to be better off. Everyone has their own opinion, but I'm not going to argue about facts, and that's I'm kind of built my whole following on facts and research.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming back onto the show. and just sharing your knowledge and insights with us. Always have fun chatting with you.
Thanks, MC.
And thank you to you, the listener and the viewer, for spending most valuable resource, your time, once again with me on the show. Everything Cashflow Ninja is at cashflowninja.com. 3 podcasts, Cashflow Ninja, Cashflow Investing Secrets, and Reset Investing Secrets is there for you to enjoy. You can buy my book. You could sign up for our paid newsletter, the best Cashflow Ninja's newsletter, and you can join the mastermind Cashflow Nirvana, all at cashflowninja.com. Until next time, live infinitely. This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.